Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Diana Catherine Klopa. I am the associate publisher at Grey Wolf Publishing. And today it is my distinct pleasure to speak with Debbie Nelson. She is an author from Minot, South Dakota. And she wrote a wonderful book for children called A Cabin by the Lake. Welcome, Debbie.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate being here.
So tell me a little bit about you as an author. What inspired you to write, period? And then tell me a little bit about what inspired you to write this particular book.
All right. Well, I've always been a writer. I have many years of healthcare experience, and I always wanted to encourage and inspire the colleagues that I worked with, not only in the state of North Dakota, but also around the country. And so if I would find a new practice or if I would find something that worked really well, I wanted to write to share with my colleagues. And I did this for a number of years, and it was helpful to people. And so we did have the Minot flood in North Dakota here of 2011. And after that, I kind of reevaluated life, and I had always enjoyed going out into the woods and watching the animals, and it was always a real stress reliever for me. And so when I was out there and the flood was going on, and kind of reevaluated life and decided to leave healthcare, but I didn't want to leave writing because I thought there still has to be things to really encourage and inspire people. And it was after my first experience of being up in a tree stand, bow hunting, that my husband encouraged me to do, that I thought, you know, more women should be out here in the woods. This is so incredible to watch the sunsets and all of the things that happen. So I got home after a couple of nights of bow hunting, and I jotted down an article and kind of refined it, sent it to a magazine, and they published it. And that's really
fabulous.
Kind of what started.
Your first article got published right away?
It did. And I think because
that's
it's
wonderful.
Kind of a niche. It's a female bow hunter, you know, a female in the woods, kind of from my vantage point, and my experience wasn't a kill. You know, and how about the animal kind of dying, you know, like maybe guys would more write about.
Right.
But it was more kind
right.
of the aesthetics of the woods. And so then after the flood, I thought, you know, I really need to encourage not only women to get into the woods, but also children. Because I had seen some statistics that, you know, of course, children are plugged in electronically. They are indoors. And so I really wanted to still encourage and inspire people to get out in the woods.
Okay. Now, I love your book. I really had a wonderful time working with you on this.
Thank you.
You write it directly to your grandchildren, which I think is a fabulous approach. What was their feeling when they read the book? What was their response to it?
Well, they were pretty tickled to see their name in print, first of all.
Sure.
And one of the things that I did is because this is a children's book, it's about a second grade level when I put it through the different programs. And
So
what I wanted, because I had always written for adults, I really needed an elementary school child to read it. So I did choose my grandson, and he was the very first one that got to actually read through the draft before it ever went to you as the publisher. And he was just amazed that here is a book telling about walks we had taken or telling about the cabin that he knew about. So he is the oldest grandson, and he was kind of amazed, you know, the wide-eyed of, oh, my goodness, Grandma, you know, this is about the cabin that I know, and this is about the porch. So he was pretty excited. The youngest grandchild at the time of the book was really pretty young, and so I did take a little bit of liberty in having that grandchild talk. But, you know, as they've now gotten older and it becomes one of their favorite books, they still think it's pretty cool to see the things that they are aware of, and then again to see their name with Grandma in the book.
Sure, yeah. I bet that would be wonderful for little kids to have that recognition and that ability to say, oh, I know that place.
Right. And I guess that was another reason to write it, not only to encourage and inspire, but because the book was a very positive thing that came out of that devastating flood, I wanted to make sure that not only my grandchildren and my children remembered this is where the cabin came from, but also as it gets passed down generation to generation, so that they never take for granted, oh, the cabin just showed up one day, you know, that there was a lot
right.
of things that kind of went into it. And so, as you know, Diana, the book doesn't, you know, focus on the flood by any means, but it does mention it in the special items that are in the cabin, you know, that have been collected through life. So it's sort of a remembrance of that time also.
Right, right. And I also see it as an invitation, and I'm sure you meant it this way, as an invitation for people to come out in the woods and see what they can find as well.
Yes, absolutely.
It almost feels like a young person's guidebook to being in the woods.
Oh, yes, that's exactly right. That's exactly right.
So I wonder, can you read a little piece for us? Just so that our listeners can get a flavor for what the book is about?
Sure, I would love to. So the first one I'm going to read is called Spring, and the book is organized into the four seasons, starting with spring, and it's kind of when the woods wakes up. And so I'll read just a couple pages from that. Spring.
Excellent.
Spring days at the cabin started out cool. The sun rose by 6:30 in the morning and didn't set until after 8:30 at night. Following the cold, short days of winter, it was nice to have more hours of sunlight. Even though the sun felt warm, there was still a chill in the wind. The air smelled fresh and damp. Snow was now almost gone, with little tufts of green grass that began peeking through the dirt. The ground was still mostly brown and scattered with leaves that had been under the snow all winter. It was time to think about getting the garden tools out, deciding which vegetables and flowers to plant, cutting the dead branches out of the raspberries, washing windows, and cleaning the dirt and grime that had built up on the deck during the winter. It was warm enough to have campfires in the evening. It was a treat to hear hamburgers and brats sizzling on the grill over the fire in the fire ring. Grandma loves spring. Each week, the tree buds grew a little bigger with the promise of green leaves. When grandchildren, Liam and Jace, came to visit in April, Grandma showed them the tree buds. But Grandma, where are the leaves? Liam asked. I saw leaves here last year, he declared. Grandma pointed to the brown and dried leaves on the ground. The leaves got tired and fell off the trees, she said. New ones are waiting for enough sun and water, and then they will burst free from their crusted shells, she assured him. Liam still wasn't too sure he believed there really were green leaves inside that brown tree bud. Grandma thought for a moment and then patiently peeled one open. They peeked inside and found a tightly wound green leaf. So that's one of
wonderful.
The interactions. Oh, thank you.
That's fabulous. I really appreciate your ability to take something that's very complex, like the changing of leaves and the growth of this new tree. And you've taken that really complex thing that we all learned in biology in high school, and you made
yes.
it very accessible for the young reader. So I
well,
certainly appreciate that. I know that if my son were still young, he's 26 now, but if he were still a young person, this is definitely something that he would easily be able to relate to.
Good, good. Well, and I wanted to have things, even though this is the North Woods of North Dakota, it really would be anybody's backyard. I mean, I tried to have enough of these experiences in here where if they were in Colorado or they were in Texas, there's still leaves on trees that come out. So I wanted to make sure that I included enough of that it hopefully is very relatable to children or even adults of any state.
Absolutely. And the other thing I love about this book is that it is multi-generational. This is a book that you can sit down with young children with teenagers, with grown-ups, with grandparents, really four different levels of the reading population can enjoy this book together. I certainly
see it as
a book that families can come together and talk about. One of the things I especially like about this book, it was your choice to add the fun facts at the end of the section.
Oh, good. Yeah.
Those little things that we learn about the animals or about the habitat that maybe people didn't know before. There were things about moose in that book that I didn't know before. So it, even as an adult, it was really nice to have those little tidbits of factoid information to just tie the whole book together. So it's not only incredibly entertaining, but it's very educational as well.
Well, good. I'm glad that you appreciated that. And, you know, if I can just say, I've been at different craft shows, and we have a large Pride of Dakota here in North Dakota organization. And so throughout the state, they have different vendor shows. And I've had grandparents that will come and, oh, they think this book will be great. So they will buy it for the grandchild. And then once they get it home and start reading it, they come back to the next show and say, I need one more book because I want to keep this one. I don't want to send it to the grandchildren. I want it here for them to read, but I want to send one to them also. So that's been kind of fun to see. And as well as parents who will say, oh, this is perfect. These little chapters, so to speak, are short enough, 5-10 minutes, that we can read it before bed. And then, as you know, Diane, I'm also a wildlife photographer. And so there's the colorful wildlife pictures of animals and of sunrises and sunsets. And so it kind of keeps kids' attention that way, too. But, yes, multi-generational.
I do believe that the photographs really enhance the book. It's a wonderful book in the text. Adding those photographs really adds a whole new dimension to the piece, and I think it's just a wonderful package. So
good.
Do you have one more short piece, perhaps about one of the animals?
I do. In fact, one of my favorite pieces is when the two little moose calves were first born. So if I could read that.
Sure.
It's called A Special Day. The day started out a bit cool for the middle of May. Grandma began this day the same as the others. She brought a steaming cup of coffee out on the deck, wrapped herself in a warm fleece blanket, and with the sky just starting to turn a light pink, sat quietly and watched for the sun to rise. Soon it peeked over the trees and splashed a fiery red glow over the water. Birds and geese erupted in a joyous chorus. Grandma was anxious to check on a moose cow she had seen on one of her recent walks. The cow had been alone for several weeks, and her belly was bulging, a sign there soon would be a new life. Maybe today Grandma would get a glimpse of a new baby moose. May 16th was a very special day. Only moments before, the moose calf was warm and curled up very tight within his mother's tummy, so it was difficult for him to move. It was very dark. Then, in an instant, he was cold and lying on a bed of dried grass. He blinked. His blurry eyes slowly focused on his mother lying next to him. He was getting his first bath. Her tongue washed over his little body, and with each lick, his cinnamon-colored hair dried, and he started to warm up. He could move his legs and his head, and he felt free. He felt a strange sensation in his tummy as it growled for food. He was hungry. His little nose nudged mother's flank until she found the rich, warm milk. He and drank eagerly. Soon his eyelids became heavy, and he fell asleep. When he awoke, another little calf lay beside him. He had a sister. They both now were drinking from mother as she lay beside them and continued to lick them all over. Within an hour, he tried to get up and move about. His long legs, while strong enough, did not seem to move in the right direction, and he wobbled. He weighed about 30 pounds. It took a few hours, but once he stood for a while, he could see more of his surroundings. Grandma noticed his main concern was to find mother. When he did, he began to drink milk vigorously, and she greeted him with soft, comforting licks. He started to become aware of the sounds of the forest, songs of the robins and goldfinches, and the call of the magpie. The wind rustled dried leaves that were still clinging to the branches of the oak trees. The little moose calves would learn much about the world very soon, but for now, they were content to eat and sleep and eat and sleep and just be close to mother.
Very nice. Thank you for sharing that part with us. I, too, really enjoy that section of the book.
Thank you. And what I tried to do was, even though it's the story and, you know, there are facts, you had mentioned that at the end of a lot of the chapters, they'll be just the fact box with different facts. But even throughout this little section, I was able to indicate that the mother lays down when she delivers, which is different from a giraffe birth or, you know, some other animals that continue to stand up.
Right.
Put some time frames in there. So I would educate that about, you know, how long does it take before the little calf would stand up, and how long does it take before they can move around on their own, or are they born with their eyes open, or are they born with their eyes closed? So what I tried to do was incorporate those facts within the story, but, you know, again, tried to keep it interesting enough as a story that people would keep reading. So I don't know.
That
was the attempt.
I believe you have succeeded at your attempt.
Very good.
I've sent this book to both of my nieces, one of which is 3 and one of which is 10. And I have to tell you, they both gave it rave reviews.
Thank you.
The three-year-old loved it for the photographs. 10-year-old loved it because she got to learn things about animals that she didn't know about. So
right,
it's really,
right.
As I said earlier, it really is a cross-generational kind of piece. Children of all ages will adore it, and I think parents will relish in sharing this information in such an entertaining way with children.
Good, good. That's the plan.
Well, I think you're succeeding at your plan, Debbie.
Oh, okay.
So tell me, what's coming next for you? Do you have another book in the works?
I actually do. I have book 2 that is written, and it's still about grandma and her grandchildren. And now there is grandchild number 5. And they take similar journeys with grandma, but I added a couple of things. First of all, the second one focuses on elk, because that's something that I just didn't know that much about. And so by all means, when I'm writing these books, as authors do, we learn also. And so
sure.
I learned about elk. There was a gentleman that has an elk farm, and so I spent some time there. So it focuses on following some elk, along with other animals, of course. And the other thing that I put it in, was some astronomy. So again, keeping it for children, I would discuss when they were standing on the dock watching the sun rise, one of the grandchildren would say, "Grandma, why is the sun rising over here now in the summer when in the winter it was rising way far south?" So,
okay.
You know, that's something.
So you added a little bit
more
of that. That's wonderful.
I did that, and also, you know, that the stars will rise and set just like the sun and the moon appear to rise
mm-hmm.
and set. I didn't realize that the constellations actually move across the sky too. And so
Absolutely.
That's what makes it a little bit different. Now, kind of where I am is I have all the stories written. They're in the right format. I have the photographs picked out, but they're not inserted. I put it through all of the editors, and as you remember, I have a good friend who
sure.
does kind of the grammar editing, and then I have a biology professor who makes sure my facts are right, and then again, I had another grandchild. This one was a granddaughter who was now a little bit old enough who edited it, And that's kind of all the further I've gotten, because I kind of have some other things going on, and I just,
sure.
when book number two goes to a publisher, I want to make sure that I'm really available. But this one's kind of done as far as I can take it. So I'm
wonderful.
Thinking that maybe next spring even. And then
okay.
I kind of went outside of children and a book like this, and I started putting together a teen nature devotional. So
wonderful.
It's 52 different devotionals, and they're based on nature. And so there will be a short little story about raccoons that are fighting over food. And then there'll be a biblical truth, and then there will be some questions to ponder and a little bit of scripture, something that would take 10, 15 minutes for a teen to read. And then it goes on to, you know, another one where there's maybe weeds in the flower garden, and how come the weeds
mm-hmm.
choke out the bright flowers and that kind of thing. So those
okay.
are kind of the things that I have going on now.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Do you have any
yeah.
events coming up where your readers can come find you?
They could. If they are planning on coming to South Dakota, to the Black Hills over Labor Day, I will be at the Great American Book Festival right in Rapid City on Saturday, September 2nd.
That's going to be a great event.
I hope so. There hasn't been anything in North Dakota as far as a book festival, so I'm really spreading my wings, and this will be my very first one to kind of see how it goes. And yeah, so I'm really excited. I've loved vendor shows, but there people are coming for a variety of reasons, crafts and baked goods and books, where this book
right.
festival, obviously they come just for books. So I'm really excited, and I would love to meet anybody that's, you know, stopping by. That would be great. I would
right.
I would love to visit
a as a veteran of many, many book festivals, I can tell you will have a very good time.
Oh, good.
not only is it fun to meet readers, it's also fun to meet fellow authors. So I think that'll be a very enriching experience for you.
Right. Yes, that
so
would be great.
I want to let people know your website is acabinbythelake.com, and you also have an author page on Amazon. Are your books also listed on Goodreads as well, Debbie?
I believe they are, because yes.
Okay. All right, wonderful. So we have just a couple minutes left. Do you have any parting words, perhaps just a quick message for children who might be inspired to write?
That's a great question. I actually go into schools and do a short little presentation. I keep them interested by the colored photograph. And what I visit with children about, and this is kindergarten through eighth grade, is
mm-hmm.
the skills that they have at any level, second grade, third grade, they can write a book. You don't need any magic fairy dust. You don't have to be an adult. You don't have to, you know, have any special training per se. But I encourage children, if they've had an epic birthday party or if they had a great vacation, they can certainly write from their experiences. And just to sit down, use the skills that they already know, how to write a sentence, how to write a paragraph, and then just write. And just to help them encourage their, you know, encourage to put their thoughts down, or maybe they're doing a persuasive little writing where they want to persuade their parents to buy them that puppy or that BB gun. So
right.
I do. So, you know, two things. One is that they already have the skills to start writing. And then, you know, but also they need to be passionate about what they're writing about. And so I let them know that with my experience, it was 2 years of writing and editing, and then another year and a half by the time it got through all of the editors that I had chosen. And so,
right.
you know, they won't have that long of a process, but I do encourage them to make sure that they're writing about something they care about, because then they'll really have the passion to go to the library, interview grandparents, you know, look in the newspaper, look in magazines, you know, Google safe sites on the internet and all those different references, they'll be a lot more excited to stick with the project if it's something that they're passionate about.
Right. Yes. I tell students that I work with in writing workshops that they need the two P's. They need passion and persistence.
Oh, perfect.
Because it is not a quick process, as you well know.
It is not. Now, the second one was a little quicker, but not much.
Right. Well, that's because you've done one already.
Right.
So, well, thank you so much for your time today, Debbie. I really appreciate you taking your morning to talk with us. I guess it's morning there. It's afternoon here in Detroit. I'm really very grateful that you took the time to do this, and I'm so very pleased that you chose Grey Wolf Publishing to publish the book. And I wish you just all the greatest success in the world with continuing to sell this book and publishing the second.
Well, thank you, Diana. It really has been a very easy process. Certainly working with Grey Wolf has been great through the whole, by the time I gave you the manuscript and going through the different galleys. And it's just the whole writing experience and getting that book out and getting it in my hand has been truly a great experience. And thank you also for allowing me the time to come and chat with you and encourage others out there. I really appreciate this opportunity. Thank you.
Well, thank you. And be sure to let us know when the second book comes out so we can do this again.
All right. I certainly will.
All right. You have a wonderful day, Debbie, and we will hear from you again shortly.
All right. Thanks, Diana.
Thank you. Bye-bye.